Supernatural fans, get the shotguns. You're listening to another episode of the Misha Podcalypse, a random order supernatural podcast. I'm Sam Winchester, and I wish this show was this good more often, folks.
And I'm Jordan Winchester, and I wish that I didn't have to watch Supernatural anymore.
Well, you made this pact with Azazel 2 years ago today.
And I wish I never had.
Well, that can be arranged as long as you don't mind becoming a blood bag.
I can't wait to talk about this monster. He's been living it rent-free in my head since I watched the episode.
And you've been living rent-free in his warehouse ever since.
I've been living rent-free in his warehouse where he presumably has a bed upstairs that he just goes to sleep in.
Fascinated by his warehouse.
Me too. It's not like Aladdin, I'll tell you that. This week we're talking about series 2.
Oh shit, I didn't think about doing any Aladdin bits. Hold on, let me try to think of some good Aladdin bits.
You ain't never had a blood bag like me. Yeah? Eh? We'll just do our best Robin Williams impression at some point during this episode, and that'll be...
Hey, Homer!
At some point. You didn't say now.
Oh. So, this week we're watching series 2 episode, season 2 episode... 20. I don't know why I had this weird vision of this show being from the United Kingdom. That was weird. We're watching season 2, episode 20, What Is and What Should Never Be, written by Ray L. Tucker, directed by Eric Kripke, and as always, our friend Mick G is producing this one. Good old Mick G.
Eric Kripke, the Crypt Keeper, as we call him. Series creator, obviously.
We do love the Crypt Keeper. Previously on, a lot of happening in the previously on. I'm still surprised that we've been watching the show for 2 years and we have gotten so little Dad Winchester lore. But we have seen Mom Winchester. There's an epidemic, folks.
We've seen her die and we've seen her live, folks.
We've seen a lot of characters die a lot of times.
We've seen her scrabbling. We've seen her scrabbling.
There's an epidemic of women getting sucked onto the ceiling and then catching on fire. And unfortunately, it's spreading because Sam's girlfriend, Jessica, also...
We've all wondered what happened to Jessica. It turns out she got married.
She got sucked onto the ceiling and caught on fire, too.
This is an episode about what if instead of getting married, she got married. Does that make sense, Jordan?
What, is she being married, like her body's being married to the
fate of Mary versus becoming wed?
I'm confused because I remember seeing her on fire.
So Mary Winchester
was on fire. Mary apostrophe D. I couldn't hear the apostrophe.
M-A-R-Y apostrophe D. She got married.
I hope I never get married. It seems like an unpleasant way to go.
What a way to go.
I think I'd much rather get sucked dry by a djinn in his special warehouse.
Jordan, you already are. Haven't you ever thought that this podcast we do just seems like such a wonderful dream?
One day I'm gonna wake up. Yeah, if I had a genie's wish, I would wish that I was watching some other TV show. But unfortunately,
what would you watch if it wasn't this?
I don't know, Doctor Who. So
I don't really know anything about.
So we start this episode. Dean is. I guess that the boys have gotten up into some trouble with the law, or maybe they're always in trouble with the law.
Who cares?
I care a little bit.
Dean's driving his baby.
He apparently swapped out the plates recently, and Sam calls and he's like, there's police officers outside. No, and
then, I've always really liked your Sam Winchester voice.
It's me, sir. Hey,
there's a stakeout, see?
And then can you do your classic Dean voice, please?
Hey.
He's the Sonic 06 guy. They think the police are after them, but then the cops go elsewhere, so there was just a police car near Sam's house.
Yeah, that never comes up again. Dean says, or Sam rather says, I think that there's people disappearing. I don't know if this is following up on the previous episode, it doesn't matter. But people are disappearing, and Sam is doing research and thinks that there is a djinn behind it.
Dean remembers
Barbara Eden from I Dream of Jeannie and gets a boner.
He has Secret Life of the American Teenager disease, where he just, like, thinks about TV shows that were surely off the air like 2 decades before he was born. I mean, I guess I don't know how old
he,
Sam
he gets a boner for the classics and his penis starts driving.
I really like seeing Sam Winchester doing his research, and he's got all these tomes. I like tomes. Do you like tomes?
I don't like tomes.
You're anti-tome. I'm very pro-tome.
They're full of glyphs. That's what I believe.
I've never talked about glyphs in my life, but I love tomes. And he's got these tomes with all this art of jinn. Maybe they're different editions of the Quran. I couldn't figure it out.
He literally says that he's just reading the Quran.
He's like, I've been reading the Quran, and there's a lot of talk about warehouses.
According to the Quran, jinn usually... This is so stupid, because he's like... I believe that we should look for ruins. And Dean is like, I know where I can find some ruins, and just drives to a warehouse.
I know where Jin like. I've seen. I wish that we had, like, the very corner of the DVD of Aladdin peeking out.
I know what Jin like.
So. But, I mean, I've never read the Quran. Is it, like, infested with jinn?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Sam goes, or Dean goes to his local ruins, which is a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the jinn, and the jinn is, the jinn is a man, as we all know.
A man with a lot of henna tattoos.
That's sort of his vibe. He's just a guy. Like, at the end, like, I'm sorry to spoil the episode, but at the end when they kill him, I really just feel like they killed a guy.
Like, I mean, he's a magic guy for sure. Like, I don't think he even, like, explodes or disintegrates.
No, he just dies.
He just falls over and he's like, fuck.
I've been killed.
I hate when I get stabbed with a knife.
Like, we've seen that.
I mean, I can relate. I guess he's a relatable antagonist.
Right, like poltergeist, werewolf, all manner of demons. This is just a man. With power. Oh, well. I mean, he does have powers, for sure.
I mean, he's also not really a djinn.
I mean, I don't know enough about the Quran. I don't know about the real djinn. I don't know their warehouse tendencies. I don't know their blue magic.
I'm mostly concerned with the fact that this is a vampire.
This is a vampire.
This is a vampire that, like, gives you acid before it starts sucking you.
It's a vampire that gives you, he just, like, puts you to nappy time and then lets you live out a nice life in the dream world. But he does drink your blood.
I mean, really, I was gonna say it's a vampire that you like when he sucks you, but that's a lot of vampires.
So, he touches Dean with his blue hand, and his eyes are blue, and that's all that's magical about this normal man.
Yeah, and Dean goes, and then he wakes up in an unfamiliar bed, shirtless and confused, next to a woman who he doesn't know, and neither do we.
Oh, and Dean, calls, you dog.
Oh, Dean. He calls Sam on the phone, and he says, I've been attacked by the djinn. I don't know where I am. Someone's in my bed. And Sam is like, sounds like you really did get attacked by the djinn, am I right? You drunk idiot.
I am always, that is a normal thing for a man to say. I've been attacked by the djinn. I drank so much of it.
That djinn really did a number on me. And Sam's like, yeah, I guess so. If you forgot Carmen, your beloved, you fool, you bastard.
This scene is really funny because it's very incongruous to events that Sam tells us later about his relationship with Dean in this world, where he's like, hey, hi, Dean. Oh, you don't remember your own girl? That's funny. Instead of like, why are you calling me? He should say.
Did you catch at any point in the episode the recurring phrase?
I've been attacked by the djinn.
That's right. No, Sam tells Dean, get some rest.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to hear that quite a few times.
By the way, the hit counter in this episode, the amount of times Sam, Dean, like, pushes, shoves, hits, or like, sort of jostles Sam. We always keep track of this. Mm-hmm. Off the chart. I mean, I've been keeping track of it. I know you don't care about it that much.
You know I hate stats.
This episode had a hit counter of, like, depending on how one categorizes a hit, Dean hits Sam like 8 or 9 times.
That's pretty good.
And I mean, we have had many arguments about if a double hit, like if he does sort of a firm double pat, 1-2, if that 2 hits, or is it... I mean, I always think we count every hit. Every hit is sacred.
Well, when I hit you, I've always been of the opinion that a double hit should only count as one.
We don't really have...
For the purposes of me getting in trouble with our mom.
You know, you know how Dean is. He's sort of a hands-on kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
So, Dean goes out into his living. He says, this is not my beautiful house. This is not my beautiful wife. And he's looking all around. And he sees that he lives in Lawrence, Kansas. And they do this specifically for a
I guess
joke
that
later.
I am of I am Kansas of heavy more.
I do get it. It's the Wizard of Oz.
I do think that I'm yes in Kansas now, folks.
And then Carmen wakes up. But Carmen is his beautiful girlfriend.
Oh, you also didn't mention that when Sam hangs up on Dean,
he's reading
for a book about the law.
I think there was a...
He's reading about the law.
In the previously on, we did see him talking about lawyering. We haven't gotten very much of this arc in our 2 years watching the show, but I guess that Sam, before Dean swept him into the beautiful world of hunting, which, as we all know, is what they love to call it, he was a lawyer, or he was studying to be a lawyer. So then Carmen comes out, and she does her one character trait for the episode, which is trying to have sex with Dean.
That is not true. In another scene, she refuses to have sex with Dean because she's running late for work.
She's like, I would love to have sex with you right now, Dean, but I'm going to my cool job. And then...
Yeah, and he's like, you're coming, sweetheart!
he's
this is so weird. Oh, no, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a cut in a little bit that was so strange to me, and I thought it was here, but it's not.
So he's like looking at all these pictures of him and Carmen together. There's one particular picture of Carmen... I thought it kind of looked like a stock photo, which actually came back later, and I was like, I gave the show my respect. It was my supernatural superlative, as I like to call it.
My segment that we always forget to do.
Yeah, my supernatural superlative this week was the picture of Carmen that looks really weird, because it's like, why does she look like a stock photo? But then it comes back later, and I was like, oh, wow. But then he sees some...
Oh, I didn't catch that. That's pretty good.
It was pretty clever. And then he sees something.
Yeah, so he sees a picture. Obviously, it's a picture of Mary. We don't know that yet, but it's obvious. And he drops it, and it shatters, and he runs out the door. And he goes to their old house. Allegedly, it's not their old house. We've seen their old house. This is a different old house, but whatever. The other old house was busy working on another show, I guess. He rings the doorbell. Mary answers. We can all see where this is going.
Oh my god. I do love how much of this episode is just people thinking Dean is out of his goddamn mind. Which is like most episodes a little bit. But especially
this one.
Yeah,
I will say
one.
He's doing a piss poor job hiding it.
I know. I mean, I guess if I saw my deceased parent who died when I was a child, I would be having trouble being normal about it, if I'm supposed to be.
Because it's, I mean, he's dealing with supernatural things, he's supernatural, but he should know better. But it's this part here, you know, Mary is here, she's alive, and he's like, oh, what did you used to tell me before I would go to bed as a
kid?
He's
doing fucking, he's fucking testing her, it's great.
Yeah, he's like, Mom, I'm drunk. I need to make sure you're not an android. That's all that's happening right now. Don't worry. And she's like, okay, I always said that angels would watch over you while you sleep. And he's like, it really is you. I'm normal. And then he's like, Mom, do you believe wishes can come true? I mean, never mind.
Mom.
He asks if there was ever a fire
Mom,
here
did you
when
ever
he was
get
a kid.
On
and
fire?
She says no.
And then
this is the part where I was like, okay, Dean, you need to... like, be a little bit quicker on the uptake and play this a little bit cooler while you try to figure out what exactly is happening right now. Because he's, like,
Mom,
looking through the pictures.
Yeah.
And he sees a picture of Dad Winchester on a softball team. And Mary is like, oh, yeah, he loved his team. And Dean is like, Dad is dead? And the thing that killed him was... And she's like...
He
died of a stroke. And Dean's like, yeah,
tell
that's
me now
right.
The means of his death.
Like, Dean, I know that you have the triple disadvantage of being confused, emotional, and also dumb as fuck.
But
you gotta try.
Okay, listen, I'm a noted Dean hater, but I'm also confused, emotional, and dumb as fuck, so I have to relate to that.
I just think that while you're figuring out what exactly is going on, you need to at least try to pretend to be normal.
Mom, you're not on fire right now.
Oh no, Mom, you're supposed to be on the ceiling.
This is the second person who accuses Dean of being drunk, which I don't feel like this is traditionally the behavior of a drunk person.
This is a psychotic breakdown. Yeah.
This is a man who needs help.
He's asking about a fire that never happened. He didn't know that his dad was dead.
No, he knew. He was just asking.
This is not drunk guy behavior.
He knew. He was just finding a very coy way to ask her about whether how he died. Which, Sam, as we all know, Dean's dad died of.
He was killed by... Well, we haven't actually seen how he died. I'm still assuming that it was Azazel.
Maybe he got sucked by a djinn.
There's no way that this djinn appears in more than one episode.
Big D, Lil A, Big D. It's 100 ways to die, dad on Winchester.
Big D, Lil J and I, and double NN.
So then,
I think she says, get some rest again.
Well, he says, I want to hang out here. And then she says, what about your beautiful girl? And then he says, no. And then he says, okay. And then he wakes up and he tries to call Sam, and Sam doesn't answer because he's busy being in law.
I want to say at this point, I was prepared not to like this episode, even though when we rolled it, we did see that it has good reviews, that it's generally considered one of the best episodes of the show, but that's Supernatural fans saying.
The thing about Supernatural standards is that one of the best episodes of the show is like a middling episode of television at best. Like, there are 1,000...
But, you know, that's the scale that we've developed. We know that. We love that. What I will say is, I was sort of gearing up for like a, oh yeah, it's all right. You know, there's things about it that work and things that don't. I will say, I thought like, oh great, they're doing like a cliched, like this is the world you think you want, but you have to learn that it's not the world that you think you want, et cetera, and then you have to give it up and go back to your normal world. We don't need to spoil the twist too hard, even though we basically already have, but I did think that the twist that we do get, I was personally satisfied with how original it was. Were you?
I feel like it's been done before. It was okay. All right. I have a big gripe with the way this episode ends, and I'll tell you about it when we get there. But I kind of feel like they could have done a better job with it. That would have made a more sort of impactful something. Okay. Something.
I'm interested to hear what it was and to see if I had the same feelings. Because there was some stuff that I felt the same way about.
So Dean,
I generally like this episode.
So Dean's going to do more genie investigation. He goes to meet with his beloved college professor that we all know and love.
This was the part, okay.
Is he?
And I looked.
Yeah.
I looked this up on Wikipedia because I was like, what was going on here? Like, is this a character that we haven't seen before? Mm-hmm. It's not. So what happened here is that because Dean is on his own in this other reality or whatever, a big problem that they had while they were working on the episode is, how do we like get the viewer in on what Dean is thinking? So at one point, he was just going to be, like, monologuing in his head all the time, but they were like, that sucks, which they, yes, correct. So they were just sort of, like, roughly patching over all of those weird moments where Dean needed someone to talk to and didn't have one. And this was, I guess, the one that they just really couldn't solve, so they were just like, he just walks into a college professor's office.
I was like, watch this be a beloved character we haven't seen before.
Nope, just some guy. Random guy, and he's like, you're not in my class, and he's like, yes, I am, and the guy's like, well, all right then, what did you want to ask me?
Can you tell me, can Jin really grant wishes? And he's like, you know they're not real, right? And he says, but okay, but in the stories, did they like warehouses?
He asks, is there any, like, myth where a Jin grants a wish where the person has never wished for it out loud? And the professor's like,
what are you talking
about? I don't know, man, maybe.
have you been drinking? And then Dean goes to grab the shotguns, but there are no shotguns.
And then
he sees a scary lady. a scary, like, dead type lady.
It's so funny because we'll see her again looking increasingly dead over the course of the episode. This first shot is just like a girl in basically just like a white dress that just looks like kind of weirdly formal for where they are. Or was it like a nightgown?
I think it was some sort of.
It looked off, but not like that off.
Dean sees a girl and he goes to cross the street is basically what happens.
Yeah, and then he almost gets hit by a car. And then she's gone.
And then we see
Mary made him a sandwich.
I really didn't like the up close and personal business of Jensen Ackles eating the sandwich and I'm going in his mouth with it. And it's like
you didn't like seeing Jensen's ackles.
I didn't like seeing his ackles, and it was sort of a Simpsons 3D ride experience of riding the sandwich. That was how
your desk chair is just shaking up and down and back and
That's
forth.
That's how close the camera was to that eating action. I could see like the crumbs on his lips. But he says it's the best sandwich ever because I'm in it.
Yeah, I didn't like the scene where my computer turned into a simulator ride and we went on a magic school bus journey inside of Jensen.
I can't believe this episode is 6 hours, 40 minutes long because partway through the episode, you just get to watch a slow journey through his alimentary canal. Dean asks if Sam is coming over and she's like, yeah, and it's weird that he doesn't know that, because it's weird he asks that but doesn't know that, and knows that but doesn't ask it, because later we find out Dean is in town from California for their mom's birthday, but he didn't know that, so I'm not sure why he asked that.
Yeah, I guess he's just assuming that in this world, Dean just hangs out with their mom all the time.
And then she's like, shouldn't you be at work? And he says, yeah, work at the...
I work at the job factory office school.
She's like, you clean toilets with your mouth, Dean. And he's like, right.
And the viewer has to watch from up close.
In this beautiful... This is what I'm going at. It's that, like, Dean gets this world that he wished for, but he kind of sucks, and he doesn't like his life that much.
That's what's funny, though, is that it's... We don't find, eventually, that this is, like, a... Like, you got what you wished for, but you didn't realize
it. No, it's just that, like,
it's
Dean...
Not like,
Dean
it's
wants
not,
this.
Like, ironic twist. It's just, like... You know, it's fine. It's all right.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you got some work to do, Dean. Your life's not perfect. I mean, you do.
Yeah,
clean...
I don't know if you said he works as a mechanic. Is that what they said?
No, I said he cleans toilets with his
mouth. Oh yeah, that's what I meant. A toilet mouth mechanic is what I said. But yeah, so he then mows the lawn set to "What a Wonderful World" by Joey Ramone.
Oh my god. This scene where
part where he cheerfully waves at the neighbor, and the neighbor's just like, "What the fuck is up with this guy?"
I also liked his, like, drifting that he was doing with... I mean, I've never mowed a lawn in my life.
I will say I didn't like the part where he popped a wheelie with the mower.
It should be illegal to have a lawn. Did you like his little skids and swerves? His little drifts? His little multi...
No, it seems unsafe, and he did chop up a few people from the happening. A few extras.
Yeah, I don't really like to get those... I don't like to get those blades off the ground very much, no.
Yeah, the good news is you could visually see that it was a prop lawnmower with no blades.
And then he
maybe that was what he was doing, was he was pulling it back to be like, don't worry, everybody.
He was smearing lamb's blood on all the blades in case any djinn show up.
No, that's later.
So then he finishes his task and he's drinking a beer, his favorite beer. And then Sam and Jessica arrive.
Jessica's alive?
And he gives her a big hug and he says, I can't believe you're not on fire, Jessica. It's good to see you. This is great.
Oh my god, the last time I saw you, you were on fire on the ceiling. How have you been?
And then he does the classic thing. Oh, you're in from... And you're here for... They're in from,
like,
California.
Again, there just has to be a cooler way to do it.
Uh-huh.
You know, just be like, oh, so how are things back at home? You know?
Right. Good to see you. Happy birthday, Sam. Jessica's weirded out by how tightly Dean is hugging her. And then, And then Sam sees that he's drinking a beer and he says, ah, I got a head start celebrating mom's birthday, you old piece of shit. So they all go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Jessica is like, I've got another birthday present for Mary. It's that me and Sam are getting married in honor of your name.
But not in the way where you get set on fire on the ceiling.
I would never do that. And Dean is like, congratulations, my beautiful brother. He hits him more times. He pushes him. He shoves him. He slaps him on the shoulder.
I like this part because I, you know, obviously I watching the episode didn't quite get what was going on just yet. So Dean is like, oh, congrats, Sammy. And Sammy's
he calls him Sammy.
He's like staring at him like, what the fuck is going on here?
Huh?
And I'm like, excuse me, Sam. Dean is being the most normal that he's been this entire time. This cannot be the thing that you take issue with.
And then
but then Dean sees girl in white dress looking slightly more dead than last time. And he just like walks over to her as if ensorcelled. But she disappears again. Does he like bump into a waiter or something?
He bumps into three waiters.
He gets hit by a car again in the restaurant.
So they all go back to Mary's normal alive house. Sam's like, what was going on? Were you good? You okay? Him and Jessica are going to go to bed for the night. And Dean's like, why don't we stay up and have some drinks and talk and
celebrate? Engaged. Come on.
And then Sam's like, can we talk for a second? And he dismisses his fiance and Carmen. And he's just like, we don't talk. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
This is odd because I guess what I would say is, if they wanted this confrontation where Sam is like, our relationship is not such that it feels normal for you to be happy for me, I think that they would have needed to establish like more, because what Sam says is like, we don't talk, we don't have anything in common, we only see each other for holidays. And that doesn't feel to me quite at the level where if Dean was like, oh, congrats, I'm so happy for the two of you, that Sam would be like, what's going on? Like, if they had had a thing where Sam is like, we haven't talked since blah, 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 why are you being so chummy? I think that would have made sense, but
he does list some of Dean's discretions.
Yeah, but again, he just doesn't seem like... The distance didn't feel sufficient, I guess, is my issue.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think the problem is that they didn't accept, like I said, the first thing that Dean does when he wakes up is call Sam, and Sam's like, hi! Instead of like, why are you calling me? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
We don't talk.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. And but they couldn't like give you the said, game Sam away. Is like, oh, you stole my ATM card that one time. You skipped my graduation. You hooked up with Rachel Nave, my prom date.
On prom night, he says.
Did he say that?
Yeah. And then Dean what is like, dick. Dean is like, yeah, that does sound like things that I do.
That sounds like something I would do.
That sounds like something, Dean.
Alfred.
And then Sam goes, why?
What?
That was my Sam voice. Sam voice and Dean voice.
That was a bit of an escalation.
So then Sam's like, okay, I'm leaving. And then Dean goes, wait, what about hunting? We hunt.
This was another step for me.
I can't believe Dean did it. I can't believe Dean was like, okay, so clearly me and Sam don't talk in this world. Well,
the inciting incident for us becoming monster hunters didn't happen.
We probably still hunt, right?
We probably still hunt.
We just don't
even though he already looked in baby's trunk and there weren't shotguns, Dino.
Dean is so fucking stupid in every world. It doesn't matter.
He's really up against it.
He's really having.
When Dean is on his own, we're in trouble, folks.
He is missing all the brain cells that he normally doesn't have.
Can we go back
have.
To that college professor and get his take on this?
You and me.
Someone who knows what's going
you
on.
You and me, pal. And then he's like, hunting? I've never. And then Dean's like, you'd be great at it, I bet. And then Sam's like, okay, I'm done speaking to you. Go to sleep, please. Get some
Go
rest.
Go get some rest.
Hee hee. Ha ha.
Hee hee.
They're back. They're back home, I think.
Oh, it's Dean. Dean is at his house. Yeah. I got confused. Dean is at his house.
He lives in his house.
And Carmen is like, oh, what's the matter? And he's like, Sam and I don't get along. And she's like, yeah.
Well, you don't really spend time together. I think like, pretty
your,
great.
Your brother is missing out on a swaggy brother with a big dick. And Dean's like, well, I want to patch things up with everyone. I feel like I've been given a second chance. And I don't want to waste
like
it.
I feel like I turned into Ricky Underwood for a second.
I feel like I've been given a second chance.
I got a second chance. I can do it again. I got a second chance.
I do have a second chance. But they start kissing, and he's like, let's bone.
She says, no, I've got night shift tonight.
This is classic, like the simulation is trying to get through to Dean how stupid he is by, like, directly being like, you know I have night shifts on Thursday and can't have sex right now because I'm a nurse.
And he goes, I'm dating a nurse. That's so respectable. I'm horny. And then Dean goes on to the TV, and this is the part where he learns that all the people he saved, hunting, were dead now.
Yeah, there's,
and also by the way, all of the people who have been saved across these two seasons, were, like, manifesting in this exact date and time, because it was the anniversary of Britannia Flight 242, and then he looks in the newspaper and it's like, girl died just now.
Well, no, that's not what happened. No, you misunderstood.
Yeah.
First of all, the flight thing is
a
callback to Phantom Traveler.
Right, it was an anniversary of the flight.
Yeah. What was happening here is he sees the news broadcast that's like, it's the anniversary of the crash of the plane of whatever. So he's like, but we saved them. What's going on? So he goes on the computer.
Oh, okay.
And is looking up stuff that has happened in previous episodes.
He's looking in today's newspaper.
He sees that all of these deaths that he and Sam prevented in his reality occurred in this reality. And he follows, he sees the girl again, and he runs after her.
And he opens his
closet. Ah! There's two corpses hanging by their wrists.
And then the girl is there too, and then they all go away. Dean goes to Dad Winchester's funny grave.
Okay.
And if you add,
can we step outside the bit? Why did you say funny there, Jordan?
Because
Sam Misha Podclips. Why did you say funny?
Well, we have sort of a technique on our sort of series of shows. It's sort of a beautiful. It's kind of like a laugh track where if you just put funny in front of something, it makes people think it's funny. So then you don't have
but
to
this
tell.
But this is a sad scene. We want our listeners to be crying.
I don't give a shit about Dean Winchester.
Dad Winchester?
I don't give a shit about Dad or Dean. If you put an E in Dad Winchester, it becomes Dead Winchester, and then if you take a D out, that spelling works for a second.
You've been demoted from Dad to Dead.
As I said shortly before, I am also stupid, emotional, whatever the other word was.
So yeah, he's talking to Dad's grave, and he's like, you know, I feel like my old life is coming after me to stop
did,
me.
I did feel very
happy.
Sad when it said, oh, wait, we already learned he died of a stroke. Well, pretend that Mary didn't say that, and it said, loving father, husband died in a tragic softball accident, gone before his time. But she did say, well, he was playing golf, and his stroke.
The pitcher brought a hard ball by mistake.
Oh, no, a bowling ball. Ah! He's like, yeah, everyone I ever saved died, and I just feel like my old life is, like, coming after me, and I really want to love this whole wish world that I'm living in, but it kind of sucks, because I know
Carmen
that, like,
seems like she would do some cool stuff to my junk, so that's nice.
She would give me the old Bologna, but...
But, you know, he's like, I know what you would say if you were here, like...
I love softball!
I hope I never die! I hope nobody ever gives me a stupid voice and laughs in my grave.
Monsters aren't real, Dean.
He's like, I know what my version of you would have said, which is, if the djinn put you here, find it and get it to send you back, because those lives versus your happiness, that's an easy choice.
And then
he gets angry. I'm not going to say the acting was bad, because I did think that the acting was good.
He did make water come out of his eyes.
The crying was bad.
The water was coming out of his eyes, the thing.
It's that incredibly, like, fake-looking actor crying, where it's just, like, neutral face, and then tears go out of it.
Yeah, I'm still convinced.
It did not look like crying.
No.
But the rest of this, I thought, was adequate.
So then we...
He's like, so what, you're saying, like, you know, he's arguing with his straw dad. He's like, so what, mom is supposed to die, and Sam's not supposed to marry Jessica? Like, why do the two of us have to sacrifice everything? And I like this part because, you know, he's just sort of venting his frustration to his imaginary dad. And, you know, that's all he really needed in this moment. And he like, wipes his tears away, and he's like, yeah, I know. I know how it has to be.
You gotta go be the man and do the
things. I can't stay here if it's at the cost of hundreds of lives. I know.
So he goes and Sam wakes up to hear a thud, and he grabs his classic Sam baseball bat that he keeps in his mom's, in his childhood bedroom. And he runs down and he sees Dean, like, going through the china cabinet, and he's stealing silverware. He's sort of having a Jean Valjean moment. He's really going to turn his life around with the silver. He's like, look, he lies. He's like, I lost a bet. I'm going to give this to a bookie. And he's like, I'm sorry. I wish I could fix this, but people's lives depend on this.
And Sam's like, what do you mean people's lives depend on you paying this gambling debt? And Dean's like, ah, don't worry about it. And he goes outside and he gets in his car and he kind of sits for a moment. And that's enough time for Sam to get in. They're brothers.
Brothers got to hunt together.
Yeah, this is like what you and I always do.
Whenever we get into a big fight.
Whenever you owe a bookie a lot of money.
Whenever I'm stealing our mom's silverware that didn't exist and got burned in a fire. You would come out and say, I will watch you be killed by this bookie. I'm not 100% sure.
I just want to watch.
And then, so he's like, okay, well, he's like, oh, and then they do the bit.
Yeah, he's like, bitch. And Sam's like, why'd you call me a bitch? And Dean's like, oh, never mind.
Damn it. This fell flat.
It's pretty funny. I liked it.
So they're driving, and Sam pulls out a cup of blood, which Dean has acquired. I thought, in my mind when I'm visualizing it, it was in like a clear plastic McDonald's soda cup.
It had a screwed on lid.
He pulled out a clear plastic McDonald's soda cup full of blood. And he's like, I need a silver knife dipped in lamb's blood. We're hunting a gin.
I was close to liking this moment because the part where Sam's like, what's in the bag? And Dean says, don't worry about it. And then Sam pulls out a jar of blood and Dean says, don't worry about it.
A McDonald's soda cup of blood, but yes.
That's like almost there for me. But then I think it lost me when Dean is like, don't worry about it. I just needed a silver knife dipped in lamb's blood. It feels like it's a little bit too proud of how funny it's being. You know,
I really wish that we had gotten... I think
if they just let it hang there and he's like, no, seriously, what is it? He's like, don't worry about it. I think that would have been funnier.
So he tells him he's hunting a djinn. Sam starts trying to call the police, I guess.
Well, Sam is like, you shouldn't be having a djinn while you're driving.
He says you're having a psychotic
breakdown.
See,
this is what I don't get, though, is that this version of Sam is either a lawyer or studying to be a lawyer.
Studying to be a lawyer, I think.
And Dean is like, I'm hunting a djinn. And Sam is just like, a djinn? From the Quran. Wishmaster?
He's also a devout Muslim in this world. That's why he knows what is in the Quran.
Again, I'm kind of punching it up a little here, but if Sam was like, a djinn.
What's a djinn?
What's a djinn? Like a bottle of djinn? And he's like, no, like a genie. Like from Aladdin? I think that would have made a little bit more sense to me. Like, I hadn't heard the term djinn.
Yeah.
When I was a lawyer.
No. I only learned about it from Dean Winchester pulling me into his car. Sam starts calling helpmybrother.com, and then Dean throws the phone out of the car and Sam's like, I'm trying to protect you, Dean. And Dean's like, ha 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 ha.
That would be a change of pace.
So they arrive at the ruins, the local ruins.
the ruins that are just a warehouse.
They're in Illinois, so specifically.
And Dean says, yeah, we're not in Kansas anymore. Bah, 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 bah.
So they go
because
into...
Because they're literally not in Kansas anymore. They're in anymore. Illinois. They drove across state line.
Also, Sam fell asleep at some point on this drive, which I think is really funny when your brother's, like, having a moment and he's got blood.
And has
got
thrown your phone out the window. He's just like, well, I guess I'll just accept whatever's coming.
They didn't, like, put... He didn't put on his favorite music or anything.
And I don't want to be sleepy when the drug dealer pulls up and blows my brother's brains out.
I really want to be fully conscious to witness this.
Oh, the bookie, excuse me. Oh, also on the drive over, Dean says, like, I'm a monster hunter. You need to accept that. So Sam has heard that now. They go into the warehouse, and Sam is like, we gotta go back, we gotta go back. But then they hear a creepy
moaning
noise.
Don't suck me.
I don't like getting sucked. I don't want to die from sucking.
That's how Sam realizes this is real. So they go into the big central warehouse room, and they see the two bodies, and then they see the girl, and she's hooked
hanging
up
by their wrists,
blood.
Like in
yeah,
the other
it's all
part.
Real. And then the djinn, I can't stress this enough, the djinn walks in on his own two legs. He just walks in normal style, because he's a normal man.
He's just a guy with tattoos.
Yeah.
who can glow blue sometimes when he tries.
And then the girl, like, wakes up and he's like, where's my dad? Where's my dad? And he like, puts her to sleep with his magic, and then he squeezes the blood out of the blood bag and drinks it.
Yeah, we see that the bodies... yeah, there's a few corpses, but the girl who has been popping up is alive, and yes, she is being drained of her blood. And yeah, he like starts sniffing her and like magically makes her go to sleep.
Oh, and then and when, yeah, he, when drinks, he starts, yeah, when he drinks the blood, Sam's like, "Ewy, gross."
Yeah, he's just like, "Gross." I hope he doesn't find us. And then the djinn is like, huh? "Who said that?"
And then this is the part that I'm so intrigued by. First, I don't know why, but I've been fixated on it. Is that after he looks around for them and can't find them, he just goes upstairs. What's he doing?
I guess it was nothing.
Where's he going?
Must have been the wind.
What does he do when he's not doing this? He lives a rich and complex inner life that we're not aware
of. He's
just
watching I Dream of Jeannie.
Right,
and jerking
is he
off.
Going to sleep? I need to know more about him. Unfortunately,
he's online looking up blood recipes.
He's looking for more ruins.
he's just on Google Maps searching ruins near me.
I don't know why, but just the fact that he goes upstairs. Where is he going? So then
he's going to bed.
I guess so. I've got to go to sleep after a big meal. So then Dean is like, okay, so this isn't what
they hide.
Yeah. He's like, the genie doesn't put you would. He doesn't grant you wishes. He just makes you think he granted the wishes, but you were really here being tied up.
Yeah. Basically, what he figures out is that in real life, he is in this same warehouse, tied up by his wrists. The girl is next to him. The reason he's seeing flashes of her is that his brain is, like, occasionally catching on to the fact that it's... Like, maybe that's, like, when he wakes up a little bit and then gets put back to sleep.
I'm kind of
he,
amazed.
He, like, sees her and...
I'm kind of amazed of the fact... I was so wondering, like, how is he gonna even get access to the djinn? Like how... Like, the djinn is obviously creating this world around him. How is he gonna even... And it turns out that in this world, in his mind, there's also a djinn doing the exact same thing in the exact same place.
I mean, I suppose it does make sense, considering that in this world, there are also, you know, like, the plane crash happened, because they couldn't prevent... So it is the same world, just different things happened.
If I was the djinn, the one thing I would be like, their mom's alive, and also I'm not here, is the sort of how I would do that.
Yeah, well maybe again, it's just one of those things that's like, there's, I mean, we will never get into this in the show, because whatever, it doesn't matter, but maybe it's like his powers can't fully turn off the fact that Dean's brain is somewhat conscious throughout and is perceiving its surroundings and does remember blah blah blah. I don't know.
So Sam's like, matter. Sam's freaking out. He's like, this, that guy's gonna come back downstairs when he's done with that episode of I Dream of Jeannie. We gotta get out of here. And Sam's like, no, I know what I gotta do.
Dean's
like, I know what I gotta do. I'm 90% sure.
Now, this is a little bit not so.
Old wives' tale, he says.
I've never heard this.
I think he made this up.
They say if you're about to die in a dream, you wake up.
I mean, it definitely happens. Like, if I'm in a dream and I'm, like, about to get hit by the bus being driven by Kyle XY, I definitely wake up before he hits me on a switch.
I guess so. But yeah, but he pulls out his knife.
Sam, don't do it.
In lamb's blood. And he points the knife at himself. And Sam's like, don't do it, Dean. And Dean's like, it's probably gonna work. And then Mary walks in and she's in a white dress for no fucking reason.
Okay, okay. I don't want to tell this Jin how to do his job. I feel like the play here.
And you're spelling job with a D-J-O-B-B.
Yeah. I feel like the play here is not immediately give up the game, have all of the characters appear and say, we are in your mind, but is that not what you want? Don't you want to stay here? I feel like the play is, Dean, don't do this. This is real. You will just die. Because he says, I'm 90% sure. That's like supposed to be a little joke, like, oh, that's a pretty big march of error. He might just kill himself here. But then it's just like, hey, this is all, hey, it's basically the djinn should have come downstairs and been like, hey, what's up? I'm Jin. Nice to meet you. I just want to let you know this is all in your head, but isn't it what you want? Doesn't it matter?
It's also entirely possible that he was actually transported to another world. Oh, but okay. We should say, we didn't talk about this. He is basing his assumption that he's in some kind of hallucinogenic state on the fact that the girl starts to open her eyes and is like, where am I? Where's my dad? And then he puts her back to sleep. So he's basically thinking, that's me right now in real life, is I'm opening my eyes going, where's my mom? And then he puts me back under.
Right.
So
yeah, they're like,
I guess his logic is pretty sound.
But
yeah, to your point, the part, I guess once he knows that that's what's going on, yeah. I guess at that point you might as well give the game away and just go for the wouldn't you rather just be here.
Right. I guess he is in the
djinn. Yeah, Jessica and Carmen walk in.
I guess he's in the djinn's warehouse.
Yeah, and Sam is like, you could have just stayed happy, Dean. It doesn't have to be like this. And Mary is like, put the knife down, sweetie. Like, you know, the djinn, it'll drain you of your blood and you'll die. It'll take a matter of days, but it'll feel like a lifetime in here for you. And you can be comfortable and safe with all of us. Just get some rest, sweetie. And Jessica's like, you don't have to be worried about your brother. I'm taking care of him. And Carmen's like, I love you, Dean.
Can I jerk you off later?
And Sam is like, we've done enough for everyone. Why does it have to be our job to save all of them? And Dean's like,
sorry. And then right at the moment he does this is when Sam wakes him up. So that the causality of this is kind of confusing to me.
Yeah, I did, regardless of that not making sense, which I actually didn't think about, but you're right. I did like the way that they showed this, which is that Sam, we don't see Dean. We just see Sam's face going like, Dean, like angry at him for stabbing himself.
Yeah.
But as the camera pans and shows Dean tied up by his wrists, Sam like fades from angry to concerned as we exit the dream. I thought that was a cool.
So this is where moment. I go. Full,
great stuff from Eric, the Crypt Keeper.
Full rewrite mode, because this whole thing about like Sam's killing himself and waking up coincides perfectly with Dean waking him up in the real world, which is weird and confusing. So like, I think in a much better version of this episode, what would have happened is that Sam is like the sort of figure that is sort of trying to wake him up instead of the scary dead bodies of like. Dean is in this world. He's accepted it. He likes it. He's living his normal life. He's going through, like, time is passing. A lot of time is passing. And throughout his life, he's getting flashes of, like, his brother, like, Dean, you gotta wake up. Dean, wake up. And he's like, what is happening? Why is this happening? Sam, why are you saying this to me? My brother that we get along, we go hunting together in the woods, haha. And then it's like he gets forced out of this world or he has to come to terms with his life that he's lived, his like cool life that he's lived with his mom and his brother and his hot girlfriend was all a dream. And he has to like choose to wake up as opposed to him being here for like 3 days and it kind of sucks and everyone thinks he's a fucking weirdo. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna disagree.
Oh my god, my phone. You got it wrong. My alarm went off. Maybe I'm just thinking of Star Trek.
Well, what else is new? Here's what I would say to that.
Uh-huh.
Because I think that that might possibly make more sense for the episode. But I think that we are, because we're watching the show correctly, I think it's possible that this is part of a larger arc with Dean's character. It feels like it is meaningful that he is the one who comes to the realization on his own of, yes, we make these sacrifices, but it is worth it.
Right. I think that I feel like this is less about his own world that he wants to live in, because it doesn't really feel like he's like super happy with all of the stuff. Like it's more like, ah, these people are dead and they're dead because I wasn't there to help them. Which, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he talks to Sam about that at the very end, where he's like, Sam is like, after he fills him in on everything, he's like, you know, why, if it was a perfect fantasy, why didn't you and I get along? And Dean is like, it wasn't a perfect fantasy. That's not what the djinn does.
It just wish. Knew
my ultimate wish that I never spoke aloud would be for Mom to be alive. And then everything followed from there. We grew close because Mom died and we got into hunting. I think it makes sense, but yeah, I also get what
you're
saying.
Also, when anyway, Dean wakes up, he references the Wizard of Oz again. He says, no place like
Auntie
home.
Auntie M, there's no place like home. Haha, ding ding, I get it.
Sam pulls the needle out of his neck and it's really gross. And like that.
And then the djinn shows up and Sam fights him and it starts to reach for his face with its glowy hand, but Dean frees himself and stabs it to death with his knife.
And he just dies. He just falls over.
Did the knife come out of the dream still dipped in lamb's blood, or did that not actually matter?
It was actually, that's a good question. It was a different
knife. That actually
knife.
Was if this was a djinn, but this is just a guy.
No, there was Sam brought a different knife covered in lamb's blood. Yeah, because Dean's knife was like a silver, like, cutlery knife, and I think this was like a cool sort of tactical combat knife.
I totally didn't catch that. So these days, everyone has a tactical knife covered in lamb's blood.
Well, Sam knew he was hunting a djinn, and he had just finished reading the Quran.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Four times through, where it says in every chapter that if you want to kill a djinn, you have to go to its warehouse and stab it with a knife covered in lamb's blood.
That's my favorite verse in the Quran.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this part where they stab this man and he dies.
He doesn't go like, no, and like explode. He's just like, oh, I'm
no, I hate being dead as a djinn. No, they just stab him and he just falls over dead like a guy.
He's just a guy.
And yeah, they run over to the girl who is tied up. Dean was right. He was seeing her because she was in the warehouse near him. And they cut her down. She's still alive. We go back to the motel.
This is the part where we see the picture of Carmen that he was looking at earlier was actually a beer ad without the beer bottle in the dream, because that's like how she got into his brain.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
I don't know why this line is like, this is such a supernatural thing to me, where Sam is like, I just got off the phone with the hospital. She's stable. You know, she might live. It's not like she's going to live. It's like there's a chance. She's got a chance.
Uh-huh.
She's not in out of the woods yet. Like, what, in the next episode are we going to get an update that's just like, oh yeah, she died. Sorry.
I assume that she will never be mentioned again.
No.
But yeah, well, I'll come back to this. And then, yeah, Dean tells him about the dream world.
This.
And they talk about why they weren't friends. Sam says, you know, despite everything and how we ended up here, you know, I'm glad that we hunt together and I'm glad you dug yourself out. And Dean's like, you know, I like the way this ends, because Dean, he just says straight up, like, I did want to stay, you know?
Yeah. I think that they should have shown him enjoy. Like, I just think that too much of this episode was like him investigating this weird genie dream thing.
He was really psyched to have sex with Carmen, though. Yeah, and to hang out with his best friend, Professor Guy.
Like, the problem here is that he just, everything in the dream just seemed bad and weird, and everyone was weirded out by him, and his brother was weirded out by him. And I just...
Yeah, but I think it's understandable for him to be like, if I did stay here, and I stayed here for as long as I live, I can figure it out, you know? I can have a relationship with Sam.
I just think that we could have gotten a beautiful moment where he dies in the dream and goes to car heaven.
I mean, that would be good.
Uh-huh.
And it's what he deserves. But yeah, he says, you know, all I can think about since Dad Winchester died is how much you and I have sacrificed. And Sam is like, yeah, you know, it's not fair, but think of all the lives we saved. And then it just, it just ends. Roll credits.
Yep.
Just so abruptly ends. It's really weird. Yeah, I liked the episode. I didn't love the episode, but I did like
the episode.
The
problem with this show is that it gives us so little. So, like, this is one of the better episodes of Supernatural.
Oh, no question.
But
yeah,
is it good?
Early on, I was like, this story is a hell of a cliche, but I did think that the gin stuff and the warehouse stuff was, for me, a sufficiently unique spin. I liked, speaking of unique spins, it was an interesting spin to have a djinn that is not a djinn. It's just a guy who is also a vampire who has tattoos.
He's living in his warehouse. I don't know.
What a spin on a djinn.
I give it a C+, a tip of the hat.
I'd give it a B. I thought that the spooky parts were spooky. I thought the emotional parts were emotional.
There's spookier episodes.
Sure, but I thought that I'm also
like there was just two skeletons.
They were scary.
Do you think skeletons are scary?
Don't you?
Sam, we gotta go hunt this skeleton.
No, I mean I'm not I wasn't like pissing myself and screaming, but I thought it had a good atmosphere, is what I would say. But if I had a main criticism besides the relatively inconsequential things that I just thought were stupid about it,
mm-hmm.
The stuff with the girl, it needed more juice because ultimately
she was losing all of her juice.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. She would have been fine. No, ultimately it was just a clue, and that was all that it was.
That's what I'm saying. It would have been better if instead of the girl, it was IRL Sam like trying to get him to wake up.
Yeah, I mean. You know what could have worked? What if the girl was Carmen?
I don't even understand.
The character that he invented to play his beloved girlfriend or wife in this universe.
Like he was seeing her dad? Like he was seeing her
He,
scary.
Like, subconsciously was picking up on her in the room with him. And, like, maybe she kind of starts to decay over the course of the episode or something.
The only thing about that I don't like is that Dean, like, sees this woman hanging from the thing and dying, and then he's like, damn, nice lady.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm not saying I have the answer to the problem.
I'm just saying, as it was, correct. Huh?
I said my answer is correct and incorrect. But
as it was, I just felt like this thing with the girl was too just like... She needed something else. I don't know. And then that ending where they're just like, "I got off the phone. She's fine."
Or
like,
is she
great?
She wasn't fine. Yeah. She said she's stable, but she might still die. The show.
But I thought that the important things about this episode were the emotions of Dean and the conclusions that he reached for his life on his
own.
I thought that those worked.
You're much more willing to like Dean than I am. I am a noted Dean hater, as you know.
I mean, I don't like Dean.
No.
You always say I like Dean.
You are a lover. You love Dean, and Dean is your favorite character. He's irredeemable to me.
No.
No.
You know I'm a proud... you know I'm the founder of Sam's Club.
We're both Sam's Club members, but I'm just saying that I'm the a founder
You know I have
of
a
the,
Sam's Club membership card.
I'm the founder of the Dean Haters Club, where every episode I refuse to give Dean any cred ever for any reason. Sam, can you please give me your supernatural superlative, please?
I would give most improved to the hanging girl. Because we watch her go from dead to stable.
That's true. That wasn't what the bit was, but that's okay.
Is the bit?
It's just sort of your favorite moment. Yeah, it's just like cool team moment.
Well, that name doesn't make sense for it because you called it a superlative, which is what I did.
Yeah, it's a bad bit. Do we have any?
Let's
other...
just move on then.
All right, well, that's the end of this episode. I guess we have to do our favorite thing now, which is we get to...
The Dean voice?
We've had enough of that. I was just going to say pick another episode.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. What do we got?
That spreadsheet. All right,
I'm going to random.org. As always, I'm generating a number between 1 and 327. We're never going to finish this, Jordan.
It's really a test of how long, how patient can we, how long can we endure?
75. Have we seen this one?
75.
I mean, it sounds stupid. Well, next time we will be watching season 4, episode 15, Death Takes a Holiday.
Is it like a Christmas episode?
yeah, Christmas in March.
It's about Santa, and he kills you.
Why would it be?
Death Takes a Holiday.
I think it means that, oh, it's the name of a film.
Oh, okay. Well, Sam, can we thank our patrons?
Yeah.
I'm getting very tired. Two years in, I'm getting very tired of watching Supernatural.
we'll get it. We'll get through it.
It's not fun.
We'll get through it eventually. How much of it can there be?
320. Yeah, that many.
If you support us politically or otherwise, ideologically, you can go to patreon.com/pottingbros, where $1 gets you a mildly special Discord role marking you as a shotgun shell. You get all of our bonus content, Supernatural fanfic readings, and all the old stuff. We just
Kyle.
Read a really good one about Sam Winchester's penis and what it can do.
I miss Kyle.
$5 gets you a pretty special Discord role marking you as a shotgun actual, which gets you a shout out in the podcast. You can send us a message that we'll read in one of our funny voices, like Sam, Dean, or Robin Williams.
Hey!
$10 gets you all that plus an incredibly special Discord role marking you as an honorary Winchester.
We'll give you a 21 shotgun
while we record it. What?
We'll give you a 21 shotgun salute when we read your name.
Yeah, let me go grab the shotgun. No. Last time I did that, I got evicted. Do you like my joke?
It was about shooting a gun in your house.
Yeah.
And you got evicted for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of that was sort of the joke.
Yeah.
We're getting real low energy here. I really wish we.
Well, it's because you know what it is that we just finished what is considered one of the best episodes of the entire show, and now we are re-entering the desert.
I feel like I was not really out of the. I feel like I was given a cup of water while I was in the desert, but it wasn't like I was out of the desert. It just feels like the show is a desert. I don't like the show, Sam. I don't want to watch the show
well,
anymore.
Maybe we'll like the one where death.
I don't like the show at all. It's a bad
show. Thank you to our five and $10 subscribers: Cassidy, Faustian Bargainbin, Helga K, JCH, Roy, Stephanie Bowling, Stephanie Karen, Violet Magician, and the honorary Winchesters: Destry Hawk, H Gabe, Sauceworks, and Verdigris.
Thank you all very much. I don't know and understand why you continue to give us money for us doing this, but thank you, Sam. Where can we find you and your things?
I am on co-host at Positive Stress. You can listen to my other podcast, Sounds About Light. We have just finished up Kingdom Hearts, Birthplace Sleep 0.2, A Fragmentary Passage.
Do you think that Sam and Dean will ever be in Kingdom Hearts?
No. They were in Scooby-Doo. Haven't seen that one yet.
Oh.
That's on the best of lists.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Allegedly, that's a good episode.
Yeah, sure.
Someday.
Sure.
The odds aren't in our favor.
No, the odds are, yep, they never are.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, we've still got Swan Song somewhere on the horizon.
Who gives a fuck about it anymore?
It's supposed to be good!
They said that about this one!
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm trying.
Not a lot to
What look. Was I saying? Oh, on Sounds About Light, we're going to be doing Kingdom Hearts 3.
You can listen
forward to it.
You can listen to Kamurocho Radio, where we talk about Yakuza games. We are right at the end of Yakuza 4. Still haven't found time to record the finale. We'll get to it soon, hopefully.
Great game.
It's a bad game.
So good.
Not a good game. Sort of the Supernatural of games. Just kidding.
Okay.
Just kidding.
The Supernatural of games is the Supernatural Wii game.
Which we will play if we get $150 on our Patreon.
If we get $150,000 a month, we will play the Supernatural Wii game.
For 1 month.
Yeah. I don't know if that really exists.
Nope. Oh, and you can find me on Tumblr at Kiwami Breakfast, where I post about mainly about reblogging pathologic fan art and also Dungeon Meshi lately. Sam, can you can we take it out? Are we done?
Yep.
Well, thank you all very much for listening to Mishapodcalypse. We'll see you next week, and as always, get in, baby. We're going to Turbo Hell. Get
Super Hell.
Get in. Get in. Get in, baby. We're going to Super Hell. Get in, get baby. Baby.
We're going to Super Hell.
Get in, baby. We're going to Super Hell. See you in Turbo Hell, losers. Bye.
See you in Turbo Hell.